Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is clutched into left. Goodbye. A tape measure home run by George Springer.
And now he drives one towards deep right center field. Back goes Kipnis at the wall, and that ball is gone. Opposite field to right center field for Springer. His second home run of the game.
Yes, sir. Welcome in to Clint Sterner. I'm happy to join you, baby.
Hey, good,
I'm happy to join you.
Good to have you here, show.
Come on now. Come on now. I know we're going to jump into it. I am Ron, the show Hughley. I'm going to be jumping in with you the next 2 days. But it's a big day in Houston.
Yes, it is. It is a big
Come
day.
Come on
hey,
now.
Hey, Ron, a lot of smoke around the city the last few days, man.
Ain't been good smoke, though.
Hey, yeah. Look, a lot of people stepping on their lips around here. Just all sad, old bottom lip poked out crying. But we got some good news,
some good news. Yeah. It's been it's been a rough week. It's been a rough week.
What is today?
For 6-7 days in Houston. You got the Texans, and then you got, with the Astros, you got, Harden scored 13 points last night. It's been a rough night. It's been a rough night. But we got some news.
Yes.
The heart and soul, and this is what everybody's been telling me all day, that the heart and soul of the Houston Astros, not Altuve, he's a great, but the heart and soul, George Springer, is back. 1 year deal. They avoid arbitration. They agree on a 1 year deal, $21 million. Just tell me, let me know. How big is this? Because I just want to get a measure. How big is this for him coming back?
This is absolutely huge. Take away what the organization's going through right now. This is a guy that for 2 years now I've been sitting in this seat roughly, in some way, shape, or form. I've talked to guys like our producer, B-Mac, talks to Stros, the Rockets, and the Texans. The knowledge in between in that big old dome he got is it'll blow you away. Sean Pendergast, one of the sharpest in the business. And every conversation that you have about the Houston Astros and the leadership on this team, the heartbeat of this baseball team. Mm. Sometimes it's Bregman because he's in the MVP hunt.
He got that swag.
Sometimes, no doubt, baby, you got that LSU Tiger swag.
And then
every now and then, Altuve's in there because he's a little man. Yeah, Mr. President, he's a little man that's just dynamite. But every one of those conversations, the one staple for 3 years now, since 2017, the one staple that was in every one of the conversations, regardless of the other company, was George Springer. That tells me that the dude's legit. I'm not in the clubhouse. I don't know the intangibles of these guys. I remember when I was playing at the Cowboys. A lot of guys would call the team up after practice.
Damn, 3 minutes? You didn't let me. I know you play for the Cowboys, Clint. 3 minutes.
Golly.
Dang, not even Arkansas.
Hey.
3 minutes. Good.
Yeah. My bad. I'm down here. So at practice, right, there's a lot of guys call the team up. But when Darren Woodson stepped up and spoke, that was the heartbeat of the team, brother. Darren Woodson's the heartbeat of the team. When I was there, which wasn't a very good team, but Darren Woodson was the heartbeat. I believe, based off the conversations that I've had with people, that George Springer is that dude. This is huge for the Astros. Again, forget about all the adversity they're going through right now. This is a huge lockup for the Houston Astros to have him under control for one more year.
But we can't forget about that adversity, because what you're saying, if you're talking about Darren Woodson, I know Darren Woodson, I wasn't there, but you played.
Right.
He was the dude.
Yes.
He listened. You speak. This is a big time. That's the guy in the locker room that everybody goes to. A guy I like to call the adult in the locker room.
Yeah.
And you're in an adult situation right now with this scandal. Let's call it what it is. Hey, man, this is big to get that guy who is the heart and soul, the adult in the locker room, not just if nothing was happening, but right now, because you're going through this, it's big to have him here. And I think for the fans, and maybe you could text him, for the fans that says, all right, I know we're going through hell right now, but at least Springer is back.
Yeah, hey, get you a 12-pack of beer, get your buddies over there and celebrate a little bit, baby. It's been a tough week.
Just a 12-pack?
Celebrate. Just a 12-pack. Yes, yeah, it's a Thursday night, baby. We got to work tomorrow. We got to work tomorrow. And we was at the award show last night. It was a long night. But nonetheless, definitely a stabilizing factor for this baseball team in adverse times. I mean, I think that somebody, in it don't matter if it's business, it doesn't matter if it's football, baseball, basketball, when adversity strikes and there's some tough times, it's human nature. You look to somebody to stable the ship. You look for somebody to settle the waters. And I believe that the alpha in the room, the leader in the room that's looked to in those types of situations is George Springer, man. And to, again, to lock that dude up is huge.
Yeah, that's big. Ron, the show. I'm here joining my man Clint Sterner, and can we just address this right now, man?
Yeah,
I know you've been looking at it, dog. We're gonna get this out the way, man. I'm not nervous, man. I just sweat, dog. I know you see this. It's just me, baby. My right side. I've tried every kind of deodorant in the business. Lady speed.
You
stick,
know what's crazy?
NHL.
You know what's crazy? I had a plastic surgeon in Little Rock when I was living in Little Rock. She wanted me to do some commercials for me. And I said, what in the hell could I do for you? And she said, well, there's this new surgery out where it stops pitting.
You lying.
I promise you,
bro. It's a new surgery to stop pitting.
I mean, I don't know how new. She told me it was new. It was damn sure new. It was news to me. But I'm sitting there, and I said, look, I said, I got a problem, though. I don't pit. Like, I don't know why. I don't know how. I don't know why. I mean, obviously, I do to a certain degree. Because I've got white T-shirts that I've worn forever. They're a little dingy. They're a little dingy up under the armpit. But I just don't pit like a lot of guys do. And so I had to pass on that money, man. I had to pass on that bread because I didn't pit.
Well, I need to see it.
Maybe we can get you a deal.
One thought I did have, if you missed it, the big story right now, the Astros have locked up George Springer. They avoid arbitration, 1 year, $21 million. Everything you're saying, man, gets me going, man. That sounds like you're talking about Deshaun Watson. The leader, the dude. Well, why is it just 1 year, man? How come, to me, it would feel better, even better than right now, if you say, hey, man, we're going to make a commitment. Yeah. Everything that you done just told me, Clint. I'm looking up on the text line right here from the 218 talking about, hey, Springer was the guy, the most loyal guy regardless. Well, why are we sitting here and don't lock him up full time? You know, why is he not here longer?
I'm gonna venture to say that it's because I bet it's a two-way street, right? I think Jim Crane, obviously, and his team, his group over there is obviously the ones that had to orchestrate this deal, right? And I don't know that Jim Crane wants to go out there and make a bunch of long-term deals right now without his GM in place and handcuff him. I'm just putting it out there. Like I don't know that, even though I would, if it's George Springer, I'm locking that joker up. And if you overpay him a little bit, then hell with it. It's okay.
It's worth it, right?
Yeah, you're getting the value you're getting. But on the business side of things, I would think that the Astros as a business would go, let me pump my brakes a little bit. And can we meet in the middle somewhere to keep you an Astro and at the same time not lock into a long-term deal? Because we really don't know what the hell's going on here. Who's going to be our GM? Who's going to be our head coach? And then on the flip side of that, if you're George Springer, you tell me, show. If you're George Springer, do you feel real good about the future of the Astros? You just lost a bunch of draft picks. You don't know who the hell the head coach is going to be. It could be a guy come in there and drop a stick of dynamite in a clubhouse that supposedly has great culture. You don't know who the GM is going to be. It's going to be making the decisions around you. So is it a stretch to think that George Springer and his representation are like, I'll take that 1 year, 21.
That's a valid point. You don't know who your manager's going to be.
You don't know nothing.
You don't know who your general manager's going to be. But I was listening to Payne and Pendergrass the other day. They had the great Richard Justice on it. And I'm telling you, if he's talking about 5 years, $140-something million.
You're going to bite that bullet?
I'm telling you, man, I don't give a rip who the general manager is. I don't care. I'm coming through.
Yeah.
Give me – okay. I don't know, man. I just find even in this time – how much even bigger that would have made towards the organization and towards the fan base in this time to say we locked up, as you called, the adult in the room. the guy that is special to this franchise, that at least, man, we know we can feel good that dude is going to be there long term. Because I posed that question, and on the text line, 713-572-4610, what's the thought here? Is it scarier to be in the situation that the Astros are in right now? Or would it be scarier to be in the situation without having George Springer?
Yeah. Look, let me answer that. To hell with that text line. Let me answer that for you, Chief.
Go ahead, Chief.
Yeah. No, you got to – I'd rather lose the head coach. I'd rather lose the GM. There's a lot of pieces that I would rather lose. There's a lot of pieces that you can put in pairs that I would rather lose than George Springer, to be completely honest with you. The unorthodox way that it went down – when I was reading about George Springer's deal, is usually when representation and team start volleying numbers back and forth, that usually goes into a longer negotiation and a long-term deal. So it's very rare that they volleyed numbers,
yeah.
Right? Astros kicked him 17.5. His representation kicked back 22.5, I think, and they met in the middle at 21 mil a year. Usually when that happens, that's a long-term deal. This is a little bit unorthodox because it did end up, the volleying happened, and it ended on a one-year deal. I just think the current state of the Astros probably had a lot to do with the one-year $20 million deal, and I mean that from both parties involved. You know, I don't mean it negative towards one or I think it was a.
You almost felt like this was mutual.
Yeah,
George trying to protect his ass. And yeah, ass, I guess.
Yeah, come together and we're all good. Let's settle the waters for a year, and we'll address this on the back end of 2020.
Yeah, anybody out there drinking your malt liquor, your Mad Dogs? I feel like y'all got some people out here drinking. your Old English, your Coors, whatever. Pour one out for Carlos Beltran. We lost Carlos Beltran again. Another person who then took that L due to this whole cheating scandal. He is out as the Mets.
Yeah, he didn't even coach a game, did he? He didn't even coach
Damn,
a game.
Carlos.
Hey, show these cats right here, Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora. Hey, them dudes are dead to me. Not just kick rocks, and they're dead to me, man. I mean, this would not have gone on with the Astros, with the team that I've been watching since I was knee-high to a damn grasshopper.
Not knee-high.
My mom and daddy brought me to an Astros game on the turf, taking pictures with Jose Cruz and Kevin Bass and Nolan Ryan, all these guys. That they would not be in the middle of this scandal if Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora were never an Astro.
Mm, and I'm going to wrap it on that one. Clint Sterner, new guy in right now. I'm Ron, the show, Hugh Lee, here with you all day. Coming up, J.J. Watt is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I won't deny that. But I think we've reached a point where the Texans need to start being honest about what kind of player he is. We'll get into that next. All right, welcome back in. Ron, the show, filling in for the next 2 days along with the man, the myth, the legend, the man who does not sweat like me, Clint Sterner.
No pitting over here, Chief.
No pit, man. This is about to get real aggressive by the end of this bad boy.
Hey, look here, you do enough for both of us, so we'll call it even.
God, man. I just said, man, these people going to think, man, he is nervous as hell. Oh, man, I want to jump into this, man, because I really want to get your thoughts on this, and this is me watching this team, man. I think J.J. Watt is all world, man. J.J. Watt, first ballot Hall of Famer. He is something else. But I think you got to look at him, and sometimes this is so hard, man. This is hard to do when you got a player that's as great as he is. But you got to start looking at him for what he is, and then you have to operate that way. So I think it's time that the Texans start to look and say, we can't just go within the draft or within free agency and attack it, just say, we're just going to get complimentary pieces because we got the big man 99 there. He just hasn't proven to be reliable enough. And it ain't on him. It's not that JJ don't try or give it. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so you have to operate now in a way of, all right, man, we got to start it. We got to try to get like guys who can be frontline players. Because we can't just be at a point to say, okay, we got JJ here. We can just get complimentary pieces in the draft. I just feel like it's that time.
Well, you hit that. You hit the draft. That's a trigger word for most people in Houston, the draft. I don't give a damn if you're an Astros fan, a Rocket fan, or a Texans fan. You say the word draft, and people are pissed off because the party. There are going to be no draft parties in Houston for the next couple of years. But, you know, I agree. So this is a guy that's been injured 3 of the last 4 years. He's missed significant time. He's getting up in age as well. And so whether he's young or old, the dependability factor at this point in his career, you've seen enough to go, we don't know if J.J. Watt is going to last the entire season. And so when you look at it, and I think your point is when you look at it, you're talking about building, like that is your centerpiece of your defense. It starts with 99 and you build around him. I think that's been the case for how long? How long has it been?
Well, since 2012, that was his first Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, so 2012, you're knocking on going into the eighth year next year of really knowing that this guy is the centerpiece of the football team, and you can build around him, and you can draft accordingly, and you can go after free agents accordingly. And I agree with you, Show. This is a point right now where that has to change, brother. Simply because there's several reasons. I got another one for you if you want it. But the first and foremost is the dependability factor with 99 just isn't there the way it once was.
I mean, it's hard to get to that point, right?
Yeah.
It is hard to admit like deficiencies or problems. You know, I mean, for me, man, you saw how hard I was cutting that steak last night.
Yeah, you was on it.
I mean, it's a cry for help. Yeah. I know I can't lose this weight on my own. I know I can't. I know I can't just do it by myself. And you're just sitting there watching me cut that steak, not offering any help. It's a cry for help. You got to start knowing where you are.
Yeah.
Like, I know, man, I will turn off to Wendy's and get a junior bacon cheeseburger and a side of honey mustard if left by myself without help. And right now, the Texans need to understand themselves, man. We have to be looking for the next J.J. Watt, not the next guy who can add to J.J. Watt.
You think about it like this, man. One more reason why you got to do exactly what you're saying.
We talking about J.J. or the honey mustard or the Wendy's?
We talking about J.J. Right? My boy Rack will hit a Wendy's for you. He'll hit a Wendy's with you.
I just got hungry real
quick. No, no. No, I'm talking about J.J., man. It's because if you think about it, he's missed a significant time throughout the season. But as you get up in age, man, you either going to have to load manage him during the season, so you're going to have to bite that bullet, or you risk him not being full go when you need him the most in the playoffs.
You got to load manage him?
You got to load manage him. I mean, that's just what you're up against. And so if you see this guy practice, man, he's a guy that if you watch him practice – you understand why load management is necessary for him, right? Not necessarily the load management we see in the NBA where it's players and it's games, but load management. They got to tell this dude, like, hey, man, you can't work out. You can't flip tires 10 days a week. Like, you can't do it. And so he's a guy that they've got to monitor anyway just to keep him healthy. As he gets older, it's going to be more so of monitoring him because he's older and not because he goes so hard. And so, yeah, look, I agree with you. I think it's time that you start looking for you said it best, the next J.J. Watt, the next centerpiece of your defensive front.
Yeah, I mean, because you used to depend that he's one of the great players you look then. We got Deshaun and we got D-Hop and then you got J.J. Watt on the other. It's not to say that he can't still be great. It's just you've got to go into this without the expectation of it.
You know what, like, you got to show? You got to go into it and go, damn, it's nice to have J.J. Watt.
Yes.
Not. Oh, man, I hope 99 don't get hurt. You saw what happened in 2019 when J.J. Watt was gone. The pass rush disappeared. What are we going to do if J.J. Watt? You got to go into this season and go, hey, man, we got some pieces, and 99's healthy, and 99 still that engine's still running, and it sure is nice to have 99. You can't go into the season worried about him getting injured.
Because you're not. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're not saying that he can't still be great.
No, he's one of the best in the league when he's go.
Yeah, but you just saw the difference when he was injured, and then you saw the difference in the playoff game after the Chiefs mollywopped the Texans in the second, third, and fourth quarter. When he was hobbled, you just didn't have any other answers because you just had complimentary guys.
That's right.
Complimentary guys, and you, that just isn't going to work anymore.
It ain't going to work
with what he what he's bringing.
Show you he, look he, look you, and you know here's the other thing about like that Kansas City game. It reared its ugly head again. Now I think it was more so because my man Wade Smith talks a lot about the cardiovascular aspect of coming back, and he was gassed. That I didn't see him being gassed in the Buffalo game. Now they load managed him a little bit and only played him spot early, but on the back end, Kansas City. I know Pat Mahomes ain't a big runaround guy. He moves around to make throws. I know he's not a quote-unquote dual-threat guy. He is a good enough athlete to where if you pressure him, a defensive lineman has to stay all gas, no break, sometimes for 6 or 7 seconds because he can move around outside the pocket. That took a toll on J.J. in the Kansas City game.
And they did it every play.
Yes.
They weren't handing that thing off.
No.
They was dropping back,
no, yes.
throwing the ball, and yes. he was having to rush the passer. Every single time.
I think
time.
So. If we put a bow on that conversation, it's what I said a while ago. When you cannot go into 2020 with, man, I hope J.J. Watt can stay healthy. You got to go into 2020 going, we're locked and loaded, and if J.J. Watt stays healthy, this will be one of the best fronts in the league. You know, it's got to be
yes.
one of those like,
yes.
man, we are excited that we got another big piece and he's healthy. Not, uh-oh, what are we going to do?
Dude, like the season, like yeah. our defense is shot
yes.
if he goes down.
Absolutely.
Filling in, Ron the show, Clint Sterner. Remember, this is, I'm excited about this. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610. We had fun last night at the Bear Bryant Awards mm-hmm. as I talked about that badass steak. That I cut into when they cut
hey,
the
don't
lights
lie.
Off.
Don't lie. You wish that steak was about 3 times bigger than it was.
Man, let's just put it on out there. We put it. They had three plates missing
yeah.
that we tried to request to get them to put the steaks there. You turned to me. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. You said, "Hey, man, I got three partners set. They were supposed to be on their way back here, but they we wanted to bring up." No, the best thing though, the coaches were amazing.
Oh, come on!
I don't know how PJ Fleck loses a recruit. I almost called my wife and told her we moving to Minneapolis. I just want to be close to PJ Fleck.
Yeah.
Now let him talk to people.
Yes.
Let him talk to some. I don't know how he loses any kid.
Bro, he'll be at a top 10 program within the next 2 years. He will be at a monster program in the next 2 years. That is rare breed. And I knew he had all his row the boat stuff, and we see it on TV and you think my man's just putting on. He's putting on for the camera.
No, that's him.
No, that's him. Did you see the pace in which he walked to the stage? I knew when he got up, and it was damn near a jog to the stage. And he gets, I was like, this dude's ready. He's fixing to bring it. Like, he's on a mission. He didn't go up there to speak. He went up there to bring everybody to their feet, and it was absolutely beautiful. You talk about, I'm going to tell you one recruit he didn't lose. Ooh, wait, that boy's wife was good looking, wasn't she? Is that fair?
I'm trying to figure out how I can say this. I'm trying to think if my wife is listening. I love you, honey. Probably not. Nah, man, she's something else now.
Yeah, look here, man.
That's all. I'm trying.
Yeah,
I'm trying
nah. to, Hey, show. Ain't nothing wrong with
come on now, right?
Ain't nothing wrong with respecting a man's wife and just say, hey, man, she was a good looking woman, man.
He won.
How about the way all them coaches got up there, boy? They talked about them honeys, didn't they? Hey, look, by about the fourth one, I'm like, all right, now y'all just, now you're just doing it so your ass don't get in trouble at home. hey, look, when PJ got up there.
Man, he meant it, though. Ooh, PJ meant it.
Look, PJ meant it. And he Come got up now. There, and that camera slid down there on her face. And it's one of them deals where you know, you can see somebody, some people sometimes, you go, like, they're in love. Like, they just are on cloud nine. She's on cloud
nine. She was. It ain't just him, though.
No,
because they
no.
put the camera on, and she was looking at him like,
"Oh yeah," like
him.
He was looking at that steak.
Rip his shirt right off.
It was like you was looking at that steak over on that plate.
Man.
Hey, but not like once he shouted out his old lady, man. Hey, all the mother coaches got there. I want to talk about my wife. I want to talk about my wife for a minute, baby. You're a great coach's wife.
Oh, I'm telling you, I feel like as soon as they put that camera on, a bunch of wives in that place just hit the.
Yeah, you better have something.
Todd, you better not be looking. Todd, close your eyes, damn it. Todd.
Oh, yes. That was good. I got a confident one, man. She's okay with respecting the beauty of somebody's wife.
Yeah, man, I got a confident one, too, but I'm good. I'm a chill, baby. I'm a chill. Rodney Show, Clint Sterner coming up. Oh, God. I'm trying to stay in a good mood. But Odell Beckham is slowly turning into an athlete that nobody wants to be turning into, except for, I guess, Odell. That's coming up. You are listening to Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner, I am filling in for the next 2 days, run the show, Hughley. Dude, Clint, I'm going to need you to help me with this because I just played high school football. I did win a state championship, but I mean, I just played high school football. You played at the highest of levels. What's wrong with your boy Odell, man? Come on, man. He just makes me scratch. I feel like he's slowly turning into Antonio Brown right before our eyes. And I know some people may be freaking out right now. Now, hold on now. Who the hell is it? But he is, man. These bad decisions today, man. What? Now he's out here handing people money on the field.
Come on, man.
Yeah, man, you can't even have somebody's uncle take somebody to Chipotle. And you think you can come out and just give Jefferson $1,000 on the field?
And then an LSU official says it was fake money. It was fake money. My boy Smoking Joe done came out and said, no, it was real. I'm not a student athlete anymore. I can tell you it was real. I mean, look, the Odell Beckham Jr. thing.
This is sad.
I thought it was odd that he was in. Did you see all the videos of him dancing in the locker room with the team? Afterwards, he's in the locker room with four or five, six players gathered around him, and he's dancing.
Now, you ain't see Booger McFarlane out there doing that. You ain't see Tyrann Mathieu. They was on the sideline.
You know what's crazy is he flipped, and now I know this ain't his alma mater, but he flipped a phone over, and you know who's leaned up on the wall like an adult, like a professional athlete is Zeke Elliott. I don't know why the hell he was there. I'm assuming he's boys with Odell and all of them, but he's leaned up on the wall just you know, soaking in the environment. My man Odell is dancing, handing out $100 bills. Hell, he had a video out there with Jordan Jefferson. Not Jordan. Jordan's his older brother. What's Jefferson's for the receiver? 1,500-yard receiver. I mean,
Chase was it?
No, Jamar Chase is one. Jefferson's the second one. He's the other one. But anyway, Jordan Jefferson is his older brother that was a quarterback at LSU before.
Nonetheless.
He's on a video with him holding up the shoes that Jefferson wore in the game, and they're his shoes. They're the OBJs, right? And he says, I'm selling these on eBay for $200,000. I mean, it's just like, what are you doing, man?
That's what I'm talking about when I say Antonio Brown. And he's more in the news. Now they got a warrant out for his arrest at Cleveland. Good God.
Yeah,
this is like I'm saying, man, we were talking about it this morning. And I said he is slowly turning into – And then 15 minutes later, I sent that to you. I said, this boy done got a warrant out for his arrest.
For slapping a cop on the ass. Did you see the video?
I can't watch it. I cannot entertain it.
I don't know. I played a lot of ball in my time. I don't know why show that the cops were in the locker room, that active in the locker room. I know there were some reports that they were smoking cigars in the locker room, and I think at one point there was somebody security-wise telling them you can't smoke, and then it came back and somebody said you can. So I'm guessing that the cop was in the middle of the locker room trying to figure out what the hell he was going to do with all the cigars that were being lit up and whether it was a fire hazard or not. And this is what ended up happening. But he's been over, not all the way, a little three-quarter bend over, and he's talking to an offensive lineman.
Well,
I'm just letting you know he had that thing tooted out there a little bit. He had that thing sitting out there a little bit. And Odell Beckham Jr. standing behind him, and he just, like, admiring him, and he just, bop, slapped him on the old butt cheek. And that old cop turned around. He didn't like that, boy.
I'm going to be as delicate as I possibly can here, Clint. I ain't never, not me or anybody I know, ever thought it was a good idea to smack a cop on the ass.
Yeah, no, that's a terrible idea.
I never thought, like, hey, man, I'm going to just smack this cop on the ass because he got it tooted over. Just because it's tooted over don't mean it's there for you to smack him in his ass.
Hey, Big Ron, look, here's the deal, man. It was one of them dudes, like, I don't know how to say this without it coming across a little wrong, but it's one of them dudes, like, if you ain't never been in a locker room, right, And you ain't real comfortable. Like, I got a family. Like, if you ain't careful, you'll get cup checked. Like, you'll be standing there watching the damn game, and somebody will walk. My little cousin will walk by and cup check me. I mean, it ain't nothing. You bend over and get a cold beer out of the ice chest. You got some old tight britches on. You might get popped. I mean, it'll hurt.
Yeah, but you ain't not no cop.
Not a cop, G. But no, that's right. That's what I'm getting at though. This cop jumped like he ain't never had his ass slapped ever. Like never. Like nobody. Like it was one of them. Like you, he violated him.
Yeah.
I mean, no. Look, I understand the aspect of the being a cop, and you got to respect
but
authority.
You said it was deep.
Now I'm talking about the man. Look, ain't nobody respect authority more than me. There's no way that was even in the least bit acceptable, but. I'm talking about the reaction of the man. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about the action of the fact that it was a cop. The reaction of the man, it was like, whoa, hey, that wasn't, you weren't supposed to do that.
Yeah, man. So Clint's not about violating men.
No, not
in the locker room.
No, I'm not. No. Hey, you know what else, show? Here's what I love, though. If this was Baker Mayfield, coach, and look, rightfully so, he brings a lot on himself. If this was Baker Mayfield, Colin Cowherd and them boys would be dragging him through the mud, man. I'm interested to see how they, you know, what they end up saying and media wise. You know, obviously OBJ he'll get beyond this assault charge or whatever it is. But I'm interested to see how the media responds. Or do they go at Cleveland? Do they go at the culture in Cleveland? Or do they go at Odell Beckham Jr. the way they go at Baker, like personally and directly? I'm interested to see how they handle it.
I think Baker has taken a little of the heat off of Odell because Odell used to get it in the way that Baker did when he was in New York. I don't think he's getting away with this one. Not with these two in a row. These two things coming out at the same time.
I think it's odd. Like let's say you won a state champion. What high school did you go to?
Blue Springs High School.
Blue Springs. Who went there? Blue Springs. There's a Blue Springs in Texas, I believe.
Well, this ain't that, Texas.
That somebody. Anyway, one of the athletes went to. But nonetheless, if you won a state championship and you went back to your school 10 years later, they can go win a state championship, and you go, hey man, I'm gonna go on the sideline. I'm gonna go in the locker room. I'm gonna shake the coach's hand. Would you be in there dancing? And you're wild. You're crazy. You get a little loose.
Yeah.
But would you be in there dancing with the seniors and handing out money and doing videos and slapping cops on the ass?
Of course I'm not dancing with no 17-year-olds.
Come on, man.
Yeah, now he's like I said, he is slowly turning into Antonio Brown. When I say that, I'm not saying, you know, I know Antonio's got some real serious things, but this is the start of guys making awful decisions and repeated decisions and then coming back and like Odell, he's doing it. Oh, come on. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
No, it is a big of a deal. It is that big of a deal. You know you can't give them kids money. You almost will get – luckily, both of the kids that it has on video that he gave money to, Jefferson and Burrow, those guys are going to the league. They're out. But you could seriously get these kids in trouble. We've seen some of the things the NCAA has done and some guys that they have suspended for no reason. They are capable of doing that. And you do stuff that affects others like I hope I –
Hey.
I hope he's not, man. I'm just saying, man.
I'm with you. Hey, look, it rubs me. While we're on this topic, it rubs me wrong when I look at social media and Odell Beckham Jr. has provided the entire LSU football program Dre Beats with the purple and gold. I look on social media and LeBron James has provided the entire football team with a pair of his $200, the newest version of the LeBrons that are out. Like, man, that how's that legal? Like, how is that legal?
It should be, but it's not.
You got a guy banging out $100 bills on the field, and I don't give a damn if those guys are leaving or not. You don't think that's cool as hell to recruits? You don't think recruits are sitting there going, damn, look at this. Look at this here. The NFL players are handing out hundreds on the field. Like, it's not only like what in the hell is Odell Beckham Jr. doing, but to me it's also one of those things like what is college football doing? You want to tell me you want to ban a kid from transferring closer to his sick grandfather because it was 6 miles outside of your 100-mile radius, but yet it's okay for a pro athlete to give the entire program $200 headsets or $200 tennis shoes? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I just wish that happened to you when you was at Arkansas.
Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt. Hell yeah. I mean, to me, it's odd. It's another one of them NCAA things where you go, what, are these guys up to?
Clint Sterner, Ron Nichelle Hughley, and filling in. I'm really interested in getting your thoughts on this because I was watching the national championship game and then days off, and Todd McShay did his latest mock draft, and he has Joe Burrow going one. And everybody has Joe, Smoking Joe. Can we just call
Smoking
him that?
Joe.
Can we just call him that, Smoking Joe? Everybody has him going one in here. And I want to get your thoughts as a guy who's played the position at the highest level. Tell me if I'm off on this, Clint. Because my concern with Smoking Joe is that he's only done it at a high level for 1 year. Baby, you couldn't get over JT Barrett. You couldn't get over Haskins. And Haskins was good, a number one pick. But he wasn't what Joe was this past year, maybe the best season we've ever seen from a quarterback. So you've done it 1 year. And I look at the quarterback here for the Texans, Deshaun Watson. One of the things that was great about him, why I could not understand why Mitch Trubisky, and yes, I called him Mitch Trubisky because he has not played at a level where he deserves his name to be said correctly. But when we look at the two of them, Deshaun, he gave you 2.5 years where teams were able and guys in his league were able to look at him and then try to, all right, he does this well. Let me kind of try to come out of the things that aren't his strength. He was able to adjust and had to adjust in college football. Hell, he had to play Nick Saban back-to-back years. So when I see that, I'm like, okay, Deshaun's done it more than this. Ain't just no one-year wonder. He's actually had to adjust. My concern with Joe is we've only seen him play at this high level. Like, we've only seen him play like this 1 year, and I would have some concern about him going to the league and saying, was that just everything coming together with a great offensive coordinator and all this and that? He's never had to make adjustments. Am I off on that?
No, you're nailed on the head. Look, it's
how about that?
It's 1 year sample size is not enough to be convinced that a guy is the talent that you want to build your complete organization around, that you want to hand over the reins to build and to drive your organization to a championship. There's no doubt about it. The sample size is a problem. It's gonna be questioned. I think the hype will die around Joe Burrow as he starts to go through the lead up to the combine, the lead up to the draft.
They'll start picking him apart.
Yeah, as they do everybody. And I think he does have some flaws. But I'll be honest with you though, Show. When I was up until this championship game, my question was, is Joe Burrow Kellen Moore? Is he Colt McCoy? Or is he Sam Darnold? Or is he, you know, is he a some kind of hype, kind of like a Deshaun Watson, like a hybrid type player that can hurt you with his feet but is deadly with his arm? You know, he could very well be either one of those guys. When I watched the championship game, once again, I didn't see anything that I hadn't seen before, but I saw one more performance of flawlessly playing the game between his ears, flawlessly throwing the deep ball, flawlessly accuracy on the run. When you see, those are all things that your common evaluator has no idea about, but those are all things that make Drew Brees who he is.
The
processing show is his ability, the way they figured out that defense, that Clemson's quick defense in the first quarter, coach, that I talked about it a couple days ago. Bill O'Brien been trying to figure that. He's been trying to do that kind of thing for about 6 years now, and they still can't get the protection right for Deshaun Watson.
Just, there was no reason for you to pull the car to hit Bill O'Brien for no reason. We was not even talking about Bill.
I'm just making the point of how that's why it's so impressive, brother. There's so many teams out there at all levels that just cannot figure things out. Joe Burrow and company figured it out in a matter of a half a quarter, and they went on to score – 42-25 is what it ended up, I think.
Yeah,
to score 42 points in a heartbeat.
Thank you for that drop in, B-Mac. That, yes, I love that. We needed that from you. But no, I understand what you're saying, because when you watch him, his deep ball accuracy is absolutely ridiculous, and he did it against the competition, that Clemson defense and that coordinator, and then he did it against Georgia in the SEC championship game. I don't know about Oklahoma, but he did it against really, really good competition. And your eyes say, that Joe is something else now. That Joe is something else. But that's the thing that just kind of concerns me, just in terms of there's something about a player playing at the start, showing that he's really, really good. Like next year, I would love to see how Lamar Jackson and how people play off Lamar Jackson after getting a full season to see him. I saw it with Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, there was some. It didn't just come as easy as it did last year after they got tape on him. And when you said it, you're bringing somebody. These are people's jobs on the line, Jack. He goes into Cincinnati. Zach Taylor, this is it. This is you.
No doubt.
Your job's on the line. This is a guy who's going to run your franchise. And you only got to see him play at the level that you expect him to play at for about, 15 games?
Yeah, look, Show, that's a very valid point, man. I mean, the only box where we sit right now today is that's not checked. And I'm talking about with a big, bold check. Big one of them big old markers. People do calligraphy? You like that big word right there, Show?
Yeah, what
big
the hell dog. Talking about,
at calligraphy? Huh?
Grammar. That is without a doubt the biggest word I've ever heard you say on this
come
show.
Come on. When you're from Baytown, you know a little bit about calligraphy, G.
You got to let me know about
I think I was trying to go with graffiti, but I got calligraphy and graffiti mixed up, but it sounded good. But the one of them big old, coach, this is, we just talked about throwing a deep ball, right? My man completed 76.3% of his passes this year.
Excellent. You said Drew Brees. That's Drew
look,
Brees
he ain't
like.
Throwing screens. No, I mean, he ain't throwing. I mean, they have the ability to throw the quick game.
You're right.
They have the ability to throw a nice little screen game. They got some RPO stuff in there. That's high percentage stuff. But they are literally, he's completing 76% of his passes, and he's taking what the defense get. He is eating. I mean, he's throwing it down the field every time they give him an opportunity to do it. So to your point of the sample size being small, I believe where we sit right now, it's the only box that's not checked. So I do think as they move forward, there's going to be other things come up that are going to question whether he is that number one overall or not.
I do want at this time take the time to apologize to Joe and his family for comparing his 1 year to Mitch Trubisky's 1 year at North Carolina. I apologize, Joe. That is unfair.
Disrespectful.
It really was. It, Mitch didn't put up these kind of numbers.
I think
Mitch
more of you as a man for apologizing to smoking Joe.
That was
Joe.
Ridiculous, Joe. You've maybe had the best season. What, 60-something? What did
60
Mitch
touchdowns.
Throw? What did Mitch throw? 24? What, I apologize. That 1 year in North Carolina he gave.
Hey, Burrow, 60 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Now, he didn't throw all those. I believe some of those were, I think, I can't remember how many it were, but some of those were rushing touchdowns. Or were they all passing?
No, he ran some in, too. I think he had like 66 or so combined touchdowns. I think he had 63 going into the game.
That's right.
He had
five. You're correct.
And he had
so
five
those are
passing.
Yeah. No, you are correct. You're absolutely correct. So it was, Coach, 60 touchdowns and 6 interceptions?
Yeah, that ain't Mitch.
Come on, man.
That ain't Mitch.
You can't disrespect Smoking Joe like
right,
that.
Man, I feel like I need to just sit out for like 38 seconds.
Are you a cigar guy?
You know, I try.
Yeah, that's a new thing.
When I'm on a golf course, I'd like to light him up a little bit.
Well, look here. Don't mess around and play golf down here in the summer. That pitting ain't going to be your only problem, Coach. You're going to be walking around
problem.
Like you just got out of the swimming pool.
Man, that's the scary part, being out of here, man. 80 hey. When I got off the plane. And Joe, my favorite part about Joe, everything we talked about, he got that Alex Bregman swag.
Yeah.
Like he got that confidence that you love in a quarterback.
When I first saw like the little cocky, you know, lip cock, you know, I was like, come on, Joe, you ain't done nothing yet. As the season went on and he started on his journey to 60 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, all of a sudden it went from cocky to confidence and swag. I can feel it, man. Dude's he's legit. He's the real deal. If 1 year's enough for you, if you're of that group where 1 year is all you need to see, Joe Burrow's your guy.
That's right. Clint Sterner, Ron the Show, filling in for today and tomorrow. Coming up, Clint, he ain't playing. Clint's got a major concern with one of the Rocket superstars. You got to hear what he's got to say about this. You want to miss that. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.